So we thank God for this morning that God has given us to listen to his word. And today we will look at the farewell to the Ephesian leaders, the farewell that Paul gives to the Ephesian leaders. And this is in Acts chapter 20, and it's the second part of Acts chapter 20 from verse 17. Now, one of the things that we have to remember if we look at the journey of Paul is that this is his missionary journey, and he has come all the way to Asia, and this is the third missionary journey. And in this time, when he came to Asia, you know, remember the first time God had prevented him from coming, the Spirit of Jesus had prevented him, but now God allowed him to come to Ephesus. In Ephesus, he met 12 disciples who are disciples of John, who only knew the baptism of John. So he taught them about Jesus, he taught them about the Holy Spirit, and he prayed for them. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke in tongues, and they prophesied. And then for 2.5 years, Paul taught the word of God in Asia. And the Bible says that until the whole of Asia had the word of God, and when the whole of Asia had the word of God, then even people brought in their witchcraft books, they brought them to be burned, they were converted, they believed in God. But then he faced some suffering in that he was opposed by a man called Demetrius. Demetrius wanted people to still be to buying their idols, because Demetrius was a metal worker. He was a carver of idols, and so he looked for all the artisans in the city. They caused problems. And then because of that, Paul had to move on to Greece. And then from there, he now decided to go back to Jerusalem, because now he felt that he wanted to go back to Jerusalem for the Pentecost, day of Pentecost. And so he has to go through some of these cities, and he has to go back and greet the Ephesian leaders while he is on his way back. So verse 17, Acts chapter 20, the Bible says, "From Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. And when they had come to him, he said to them, 'You know, from the first day that I came to Asia, in what manner I always lived among you, serving the Lord with all humility and with many tears and trials, which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews. How I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed to you each to you and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance toward God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ.'" And he says, verse 22, And see now, I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Now, if we take a moment to just break down some of his statements, no, he's reminding them that, look here, when I came to Ephesus, from the first day I was with you, all of you saw my ministry. All of you saw my pattern. All of you saw how I work, because Paul would work with his hands. He would make tents. At the same time, he would also speak to the people and preach to them. And daily he would preach to them. And for 2 years, you can imagine, he took lectures every day, daily for 2 years. He would teach his disciples until the whole of Asia had the word of God. And even like through healings, like he will give aprons and handkerchiefs that had touched him. They were taken to the sick people and they will heal the people. And the Bible says that what was he teaching them? He taught them, both Jews and Gentiles, he taught them about repentance towards God. And he was telling them that how should they know God? It is by turning towards God. And repentance, as yesterday when we said in service, is that is more than confession. You know, at times people feel that, oh, because I've repented, I have confessed, that is enough. But repentance actually is completed with a change of life. It's completed with what we call restitution. Like when Nicodemus says that, you know, not Nicodemus, Zacchaeus, he said that everyone that I've stolen from, I'm going to return 4 times. That means he understood that, yes, he is forgiven, but he also understood that he also has to take an action in his life to shift from what you used to do in the past and into this new life, into a life that is forgiven. And he has had the understanding that the grace of God is not something to be taken lightly, that also it is an action. There is action after our repentance that confirms that we have been born again. And then he also tells them that now he's going towards Jerusalem. And actually, this starts the journey of his towards Jerusalem. And he's telling them, look here, I know that I am going to make trials and tribulations. He says the Holy Spirit testifies for him that in every city he's going to, chains and tribulations await me. You know, at times, if you think of this, if you tell someone, oh, you're going to be a believer, you're going to be a Christian, and what is awaiting you is chains and tribulations, not many people will accept it. But you see, Paul, even from when the time he is called by God, the Bible tells us that he told Ananias that this man is my chosen instrument, and he will testify me before kings, before the children of Israel, and before Gentiles. And there's one statement that Jesus adds, that I will show him the things he must suffer for my name's sake. That means that in our faith in God, in as much as God has promised to be with us, he does not excuse us from suffering. Suffering is a result of sin in this fallen world. As long as we are on this earth will have suffering, it will have pain, it will have sickness, it will have times of trouble. Why? Because the earth is not perfect. The earth is in trouble because of the sin of man. And many times we suffer either because of our sins, or we suffer either because of the sins of others or the sins of our parents. I mean, what does war do? War makes people suffer, not because of their own mistakes, but because of the nation. Maybe the nation is in trouble for one reason or another, but now people are suffering because of that. So, but now you see, this suffering that Paul is going through is not because he's a sinner, but he is suffering for the sake of the gospel. If we look at the book of James, James tells us that if you're going to suffer, let it be suffering for the right thing. If you suffer for the right thing, that is okay. But if you suffer because you're an evildoer, then it is to your shame. But if it is for the right thing, that it will serve to grow the gospel. It will serve to increase that people will have an understanding of the truth of the gospel. Then it is the right thing. Now, he tells them that in every city, the Holy Spirit testifies to him that chains and tribulations await me. But he says, but none of these things move me. That means he has counted the cost. He knows that his life is more valuable than the trials that he will face through. This is a man who, in the city of Derbe, people had stoned him and they piled stones on him outside the city, and they thought that he was dead. But then the Bible says that the believers gathered around him, the disciples gathered around him, and then he got up. I believe they prayed for him, and the man resurrected. You can imagine, this is a man who has been beaten, he has been stripped by mobs, he has been stoned. So he has gotten to the point where he does not care. He knows that if I die, I'm going to be with my Jesus. If I am alive, I am alive so that I can spread the gospel. And he moves from city to city, telling them, and he says, what is his joy? That I may finish my race with joy and the ministry to which I received from the Lord. Paul is someone who understood the purpose why he's on earth. Do we know our purpose? Are we ready to be committed that we say at the end of the day, I finished my race with joy? You know, I had this story of Billy Graham. And Billy Graham is one of the most powerful preachers in America ever that has been. And he preached, but he never said that he never saw miracles in his meetings. You know, people repented. Yes, they had the gospel. But then there was also another preacher who was called Oral Roberts, who used to have all these miracles and healings and mighty things. So Billy Graham decided to one day go and attend the meeting of Oral Roberts, you know. But then he went disguised, you know, he went to the Cape, no one knew he was there. And he was actually seeing miracles live, you know, tumors coming out of people, lame people are walking, you know, and it was happening live before his eyes. And he started asking God, God, why don't I have miracles, you know, in my ministry and well. And then Jesus, what he says is that God told him, just finish the work I asked you to do. And after that, he accepted. So when he was 90 years old, he was asked, are you happy with the ministry that you did? He said, I am grateful because I did the one thing that Jesus asked me to do. All that Jesus asked him to do was to preach the gospel. And he preached it, and he said he's grateful to God that when he is finishing his race, he did the one thing. Whether his ministry had miracles or not, whether it was different from other people's ministry or not, he said that for him, he knows he did the one thing that Jesus asked him to do, and he's grateful that he did it. And you can see what Paul is saying. My joy is this, that I finished my race with joy and the ministry to which I received from the Lord Jesus. That is his greatest delight, that I found my purpose, that I am doing that which God asked me to do. You know, you can be in a job and it's not what God asked you to do. You can be doing some things and it is not what, when you check your spirit, you know for sure there is a lot in you that God had created you to do that you are not doing it. If we are not doing our purpose, then we've not yet started living. You can be in a very well-paying job. You can be, you know, earning so much. But if you're not fulfilling what heaven wrote in the books of heaven, they have not yet started writing. Because when they check, when the Bible says every day of our life is written in his book, we only become alive to the purposes of God when we start to align to what God is saying, to what God is doing. Because God desires us to be faithful to what he called us to do. You see, when Jesus was teaching us to pray, he said, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That means that if we ask for God to do something, we must ask according to the will of God. Because God will never sacrifice his agenda. Anytime we ask something from God, God checks, is this in line with my overall agenda? If it is in line, let's say it is in line with agenda for missions, God answers it. Because God desires that all men be saved. So if it is an alignment with what God wants for salvation of men, you can be sure that that will be answered. Why? Because it is an alignment with the purposes of God. But if it is for our own selfish needs, many times God might just ignore it. Why? Because it is not in alignment to his will. Verse 25, the Bible says, let us read. And indeed, now I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, will see my face no more. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men. Therefore, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone, night and day, with tears. Verse 32, so now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel, that is clothing. Yes, you yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who are with me. I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. Then they all wept freely and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all the words which he spoke, that they would see his face no more, and they accompanied him to the ship. One of the things that you see about Paul is that even as he's telling these leaders goodbye, he's telling them, look here, from now onwards, I am innocent of the blood of all men. That means I have preached the gospel. Everyone has had a chance to hear. Whoever has not heard, whoever has rejected, then it is not on me. Remember when the Bible tells us that the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached as a witness to all men, then the end shall come. Our preaching of the gospel is as a witness. It does not mean that everyone will accept, but the question is, have we given them a chance to hear? Can we get to a point where we say we are innocent in that we have given our all? It is now not on us, it is on them. And he says that, I am innocent because I did not fear. I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. God is saying that it is possible for us to know the whole counsel of God. What is the whole counsel? That means the whole understanding, the whole teaching of God, that we know God fully, everything that God wanted us to know for our faith, for our families, that we understand what God means about faith, what God knows, wants us to know about raising children, about the Holy Spirit, about doctrines, you know, about laying on of hands, about baptism, about communion, that there is a possibility that we can know the whole counsel of God. Can we have true understanding? And that's why I keep encouraging us that study the word of God for yourself. Study to know the truth. Because when you know the truth, no one can confuse you. No one can, you know, can corrupt your understanding. Because he's even telling them that take care. You're the leaders. Take care of the flock that God has given you. Shepherd them correctly. Protect them from wolves. Why? Because after I leave, I know savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. What is Paul telling them? He's telling them that I know among you that after I leave, there are people who are going to come, who are going to tear the flock, who are going to eat the flock, who are going to confuse the flock with wrong teachings, who want people to go after themselves. Remember when there was the whole issue of that all Gentiles must be circumcised? Those are savage wolves who want to corrupt the gospel. And Paul is telling them that God has made you overseers. The Holy Spirit made you overseers. That means to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Believers are not, you know, they are valuable to God. Why? Because God paid for them. Jesus paid for them with his own blood. It is not just with cheap things that, you know, at times we feel, oh, the grace of God is just cheap. But no, it is costly. Someone paid the price for it. Jesus Christ paid the precious blood. He poured out his blood for the salvation of man. And that blood carries weight in the spirit, in that it is valuable. It was the blood of an innocent man that is enough to speak for us. And is telling us, as shepherds, as leaders, we have a responsibility. And this is not just in leaders in the church, even leaders in the office, leaders in the marketplace. There are people that God has placed under you. Can you say that you are innocent of their blood, that you have not hesitated to do every work that was required of you, that you gave your best for your team, that you ensured that they had, that they were provided for, that you did everything that was necessary to ensure that they thrived, that even when you're leaving them, you can say without a shadow of a doubt that I gave my heart, I gave my all. Now that I go, I can leave knowing that from day to day, I gave it my all. And look at what he's saying. Remember that for 3 years, I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. That means that Paul's emotions were involved. Night and day, he labored. He labored with his hands. Remember, he was a tent maker. He provided for his own needs. He was not depending on people. He worked with his hands. He also preached the gospel with them. every day he will preach the gospel day and night. And it's amazing how yesterday we were seeing when he was speaking to those the other leaders that he preached the whole night until midnight. One of the guys, Eutychus, he fell from the window and died. He went, resurrected him. Then he goes back, he breaks bread. And the Bible tells us he preached until morning, until it was daybreak. And then when it was daybreak, then he leaves. You can see what commitment it is that, you know, at times we think, oh, prayer meeting at night so that people pray. Paul was even doing word preaching at night, the whole night, until, because he knows that it is the word of God that is able to keep them. And that is why he tells them that, now I commit you to the word of his grace. That means that he knows that all that can keep people in the faith is the grace of God. You know, at times we think it is our effort, but no, it is the mercy of God. And he says that, for me, all I can do to you is to keep you under the mercy of God, which is able to keep you and to build you up and to give you an inheritance among those who are sanctified. As we trust God for the future, as we trust God for our destinies, let us learn to ask God for his mercy. Let us learn to ask God for his grace. Let us believe that it is only the grace of God that can keep people, that can sustain people in their lives, that can preserve them, even your children. You cannot protect your children 100 times, but you can commit them to the grace of God. And you just say, God, I commit them to your mercy. And this is what Paul was doing. He said, I commend you to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. And this grace of God will keep us even to the day of our death, even to the day of where we'll receive our final inheritance as children of God. And he tells them, look here, when I was with you, I did not covet anyone's gold, anyone's silver, anyone's clothes. I provided for myself, and I have shown you by example. And this is the thing about discipleship. God always gives us men to show us examples. You know, angels cannot preach to us to God. Some people say, oh, God has to come and show me himself. No, God gives us men. And there are patterns that God demonstrates to us that this is how we are to live. This is how daily you're supposed to be in prayer. Daily you're supposed to be reading the word of God. Daily you're supposed to be committed to the things of God. Daily you also work and you provide for your family. Daily you teach them the word of God. Why? Because this is a commitment that you show by example. And anything that you do as a person, you also teach your family. Your children also grow in the same way, and God expects us to do in the same way. And he tells them, remember, even beyond that, labor, support the weak. Remember, it is more blessed to give than to receive. The Ephesian leaders, of course, it was painful for them because Paul told them he will never see them again. But for sure, he knew that as he goes, he knows he might face death in Jerusalem, but remember he had said in his heart, I will go to Jerusalem. And he says, after that, if the Lord wills, I will also go to Rome. So Paul here, he now starts his journeys back to Jerusalem. He tells goodbye to the leaders in Asia. He's going to now go back all the way to Jerusalem. And then eventually he will go to Rome. But you see, he goes in chains. But either way, he goes, and this is how he fulfills his purpose. So I'll stop here. And any reflections or what God has placed in your heart, you are welcome to share. Over.
Thank you, Dr. Manuel. We pray that God gives us the clarity on the purpose for which we have been created on this earth. That the principle was very clear on his purpose, and I think that is one of the things that kept him steadfast. His conviction was, of course, unshakable because he was clear in his purpose and he was ready to do it to the end. I hope that God can help, because again, without the clarity of purpose, you will find Christians second guessing whether what they're doing is what God intends them to do. You will find that you struggle with discernment on whether you're hearing from God or from the enemy. And Yes, but once you have clarity of purpose, every voice that comes in, you know it's a voice that is adding value to the purpose of which we communicated to you.
Yeah.
So yes, I pray that God give us that clarity, and it's a lesson that we learn from Paul here.
Yeah. Hey, amen. Yeah, no, I think that's a good one. Let's really ask God to guide us in our purpose, to know. I tell you, when you find your purpose, you will be free. And everything will have to align to your purpose. But anyway, I think we'll trust God to teach us more about purpose, how to find our purpose, and to know the will of God for our lives. Yeah. Charles, any reflections?
Yeah, like Tabu, I also think like the God has set an objective for every person.
Yes.
And we need to understand, we need to pray to understand what's the objective he set for us, and then we need to make the actions accordingly.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, thank you for that. Indeed, may God let us know individually what he has placed us on the earth to do. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the life of Paul, that indeed he shows us by example that he fulfilled that which you called him to do. Through trials, through chains, through tribulations, he did not hesitate to preach the word of God, to work with his hands, that indeed to show them that how they ought to live. And even by what we learned, that his desire was that he finishes his race with joy, and even he completes the ministry to which the Lord had given him. And I pray even for our lives, even today, as we reflect on the life of Paul, that Lord, even may our purpose, may our own purpose, why you created us, be made clearer in our hearts, that even we just come to the understanding, to the knowing that this is really what God you created me to do. These are the gifts that you gave me. This is the ease that you gave me. These are the doors that you've consistently opened in my life. And even by that, we shall be able to be aligned to that which you want us to do, to know what is different from our own desires to also to your desires. I pray for clarity among your children this morning, even understanding. May they be guided, may they hear your voice, O God, because by your Spirit you're always ready to guide us, you're always ready to show us the way, and you're always ready to direct us. Remember your children. Thank you for the healing of my brother Charles. The Lord, your grace over him, your remembrance, O God, that he is going to recover much, much faster than he anticipates, O God, because you are God and there's no one else like you. Remember those that are sick in various places. May your hand be with them. May your power be with them, O God. Them that have traveled for treatment in various countries, in India, in other places, O God. May your grace be with them. Remember our family members, our children, O God. Watch over their families. Watch over the church. Watch over the nation, O God. May your grace and presence sustain us as we look unto you. You are faithful, you are holy, and there's no one else like you, God. Blessed Redeemer, we honor you, we adore you, and we give you glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Shalom, and blessed day ahead. Bye-bye.